This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Barbara Bogave. We were just talking about the challenges of using frequent flyer miles for airfare. Hotels also offer all sorts of loyalty points, but are they great deals? And how to keep track of them? I mean, I've signed up for all sorts of memberships and have never used them once. Anne Banas has some thoughts on this and many other travel tips. She's the executive editor of SmarterTravel.com. Welcome to Marketplace Money, Anne.
Thanks for having me.
So hotel loyalty programs, are they worth it? And which do you recommend?
Right. Well, you know, if you're thinking about joining a loyalty program and you're comparing, you know, maybe an airline program to a hotel program, I would say these days hotel programs are definitely have more value in general. You know, with the airlines, you might be able to earn a lot of miles, but you can't necessarily redeem them very effectively. Hotels, points tend to add up quickly. And, you know, no one's going to tell you, hey, you can't use that for your room. They also can be beneficial in getting you things like upgrades, a little bit more VIP service. So that's definitely something to keep in mind.
So I should get some kind of program or app that will organize them for me or have reminders?
Yeah, look at things like, you know, Hilton H Honors, Priority Club, those types of programs. Starwood, I think, has a really great program. And the thing about hotels is sometimes it's really easy to earn at different price points. Each of these programs tend to have a hotel chain at a lower price point and also at a higher price point. So whether you're traveling for leisure or business, you can tend to rack up points at different types of properties within that same brand.
Okay. Well, speaking of hotels, we have a question to run by you from one of our Facebook friends. Melinda in Madison, Wisconsin, wrote this to us. Lodging is always the most expensive part of travel for us. We prefer to rent condos and or apartments, giving us access to a kitchen. But with small children, we found places that are not childproof or kid-friendly. So can you recommend any websites that allow for searches to meet our needs?
Yes, definitely. And Melinda, you make an excellent point. Vacation homes and rentals are such a hot trend right now. It's a great way to get a little more extra room for the family. Plus, you have a kitchen, you can save money. But not all sites are the same. And, you know, one that does have a specific search filter for family friendly is Airbnb. It's a real great site. It's very fun to use. But also I would recommend, even if you use some of the other sites like HomeAway, FlipKey, which is a sister site of SmarterTravel.com, or VRBO.com, which stands for Vacation Rentals by Owners. What I would recommend, if you see a property you like and you can't tell if it's specifically child friendly, contact the owner directly. Most are really great about getting back to you in an email, and that'll allow you to ask a lot of specific questions like, are there childproof locks? Are there any, you know, scary balconies I should worry about? Those are the types of things you can be asking.
Well, that's great. So go the extra mile there. Just
exactly.
Maybe an email. Well, another listener wrote us recently about hotels, and this comment is from Aaron in Richmond, Virginia. Hotels are very expensive, and we found on a previous cross-country trip that it was cheaper to call the hotels for prices than to book online on a discount site. Now, I found this to be true with airfare, but I hadn't run into it with hotels. So how often is this the case, and how do you know if you're getting the best deal?
It really depends. And you know, just to address your point about the airlines, I mean, some airlines really want to drive people directly to their website so that you book there. But you also have to keep in mind that there might be surcharges if you book over the phone or in person. So just do your homework in advance. But with hotels, you know, it really depends. Sometimes you can find some really great deals online. Those are usually your advance purchase deals. They're basically non-refundable. You don't really have that option to cancel if you need to. And with hotels, there's also a lot of discounts out there that you might not have ever heard of. There's the flash sale sites like Jetsetter, Sneakaway, Vacationist.com, where you can get sort of upmarket hotels, but it's considered distressed inventory, so they lower the prices when they can't sell it. There's also a lot of other options out there, apps, for instance, that'll let you book great rates at the last minute.
Go ahead, give us an idea. Well, what app should we be looking at?
Definitely. One of my favorites is Hotel Tonight, and this is a cool little app. It's good to have if you're in a situation where, A, you're maybe just traveling to a place and you don't have plans, or maybe you're stranded because your flight has been canceled or delayed. This is a great app that will basically release discounted fares at noon the day of in a lot of major cities across the U.S. and internationally, and they always have availability. So it's something you can almost count on if you get stuck in a situation where you don't have a hotel for that night.
And I'm imagining that's H-O-T-E-L 2, the number 2, and then N-I-T-E?
Nope, it's actually spelled out in real English.
Oh, how refreshing.
Go figure.
How about alternatives to hotels? What are your recommendations for finding, say, great deals on hostels and monasteries and those different types of travel experiences?
Well, you really need to get to know the country you're traveling to. For example, if you're going somewhere like Portugal, they have a network system called, I think it's either Pousadas, I think, and Paradores is what you might find in Spain. But they're basically networks of exactly that, converted convents, monasteries, real interesting properties of historical interest that are basically run more like hostels, and a lot of them have passes. So if you're traveling in multiple destinations in one of these countries, you can get a pass and basically hop around and save some money that way.
Well, we have a caller on the line for you now. Will is calling us from Wilson, New York. Hi, Will.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, just great. Thanks for joining us. So Wilson, New York, I'm not familiar with that town. Are you way upstate?
Yeah, right on the shore of Lake Ontario.
Ah, and what do you do there in Wilson?
Well, I work for a company that builds sailboats.
Wonderful. Are you working on a special one right now?
One of the things we build is small racing sailboats. So actually right now I'm in a parking lot in Annapolis, Maryland, getting boats ready for a regatta this weekend.
That's very vivid. I'm so glad you told us that. And I was so glad to see your question because I'm in the same boat, no pun intended, almost exactly with my daughter. And your question is about your daughter. Why don't you tell us why you're calling today?
Well, my daughter's going to Greece on a school trip, and we're trying to figure out how to deal with pocket money for her. Back in the day, we'd send traveler's checks and be done with it, but I haven't seen one of those in years. We don't think sending a pocket full of euros is a good idea, and what is a good idea?
No, I'm right there with you. My daughter's also 16. She's going to Germany. She has an ATM card for her savings account, though, and we were thinking, well, she could use her ATM, but she might not ever have time away from the group to get to a bank. So thank you so much for this question. I was going to corner Anne and ask her the same thing. So Anne, what about it? And traveler's checks, are they even still around?
I would not bother with traveler's checks at all. And in fact, a lot of banks don't even want to accept them. What you really want to look for is a lot of banks and also American Express issue prepaid debit cards that they actually pitch for the youth and student travel market. Fees might be a little higher than with a standard credit or debit card, but it's really going to limit your risk of loss or overspending. There's one I know that's called Visa Travel Money that's out there. Capital One has a no exchange rate surcharge credit card. So this is a really great option. And so I would say that's the best route is the prepaid card.
Oh, excellent. And you don't recommend then just going the ATM route?
You know, you can. It might not be a bad idea to have a little pocket change. There's always small purchases like, you know, if you want bottled water or if you want to pick up a souvenir or something like that. Small bills are always good to have, but pretty much put everything else on the card.
Now, Will, does your daughter speak Greek?
No, not at all.
I would have been very impressed.
Yeah, I would have been impressed too, actually.
What's she doing there?
She's going with a school trip. They call it an immersion course, and they spend a year studying about Greece, and then they go there.
Ah, and what kind of talk are you going to have with her? I'm thinking about this with my daughter before she takes off.
Oh, man, that's a can of worms I hadn't even thought about. Can I just stay in denial for a while?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much for calling.
Okay, well, thank you.
I hope she has a great trip.
Yeah, your daughter too.
Oh, thank you very much. Now, Anne, we also received several questions about traveling with pets. Many questions, actually. Allison wrote us on her Facebook page that her in-laws won't visit because they can't travel with their Great Danes. And Aaron of Austin, Texas, Facebooked that we have to find accommodations for our dogs this summer. It's like finding someone to take our kids for 10 days. Any suggestions for traveling with pets?
First of all, I just want to tell people to be very careful if you are bringing your pet on an airplane in the summer. A lot of times with the larger dogs, you have to put them in a crate and check them as baggage, basically. And a lot of airlines will actually place embargoes when it gets really hot, so you can't even bring your pet on board. Just think ahead. You know, maybe a driving vacation might be better if you do want to bring your pet in the summer. But if you are traveling with your pet, there are a lot of hotels that tout themselves as being pet-friendly. I know the Kimpton Hotel chain, they usually have a dog-friendly floor. I know Hotel Monaco does, and they have a couple of locations. So you might want to research that in advance.
Oh, so, and I understand that your website is having a special call-out for photos of travelers with their pets.
We are. And, you know, we just launched a contest that's basically upload your own picture of your cat or dog, quote unquote, helping you pack. And everyone knows this. If you want to catch a cat, basically open an empty suitcase and wait about 20 minutes.
Oh, no kidding.
It's very cute.
That's just internet gold there. And we'll link to that. You can find a link to that on our website, marketplacemoney.org. Ann Banas, executive editor of smartertravel.com. We weren't able to get to all of your questions on the air, but we did get Ann to answer them online at marketplacemoney.org. And thanks so much, Ann.
Thanks for having me.